This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana and the region we call Acadiana. We're honored to have as today's guest, Lou Ann Greenwall, director of the Hilliard University Art Museum. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette, Louisiana. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses across the country, functioning as their complete IT department, from networks to phones, hosting of servers, and a service-oriented help desk. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Discover Lafayette is also underwritten by Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission. With many upcoming events hitting the Lafayette market in 2018, we encourage you to visit LafayetteTravel.com to find out more about our festivals, attractions, music scene, and award-winning restaurants. Thanks to LCVC for its support of this podcast. The Hilliard University Art Museum is located on UL Lafayette's campus. Its clean lines and soaring ceilings beautifully showcase the many exhibits housed there. Our guest today, Lou Ann Greenwall, was appointed director of the Hilliard University Art Museum in July 2014. Before she joined us here in Lafayette, Lou Ann worked as a consultant in fundraising and also as curator and educator for the Natural History Museum in L.A., the Museum of Contemporary Art, and the Mack Center for Art and Architecture. A native of Ohio, Greenwall earned a Master of Fine Arts from USC Los Angeles, and she is a certified fundraising executive. Lou Ann, it's an honor to welcome you to Discover Lafayette. Thank you.
Thanks, Jan. It's really nice to be here and nice to be able to have a conversation with you. We've had so many good conversations when you were serving on our advisory board.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure. I was able to serve on the board for 6 years, and it was in the last half of my tenure that you joined us. And I have to say, the level of professionalism and expertise that you brought has been life-changing for that museum. It's doing so well.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I wanted this opportunity today to let you, first of all, tell us more about your background, and then we'll jump into the changes you've implemented at the museum and how you work to not only make this an educational museum, but to really open it up for our region. So let's talk about you growing up in Ohio.
Oh, sure. So yeah, as you said, I grew up in Northeast Ohio. I'm the youngest of 8 children, so I come from a big Catholic family in a small town called Stowe. It's just outside of Akron, near Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And I lived there for the first 25 years of my life. I have 4 sisters and 3 brothers, many who are still in the Ohio area. And I make it home a couple times a year to, be together with the family again.
Right.
And I left Ohio after I got my bachelor's in fine arts at Kent State University and hit the road with my boyfriend, headed for Los Angeles. And
the hippie spirit.
Yep. And once I got to L.A., applied to graduate schools. I wanted to pursue my master's in fine arts. I wanted to become an artist. You know, when I was 16 years old in Akron, Ohio, I got my driver's license. And my first solo journey in my mother's borrowed vehicle was going to the Akron Art Museum. And I think it changed my life. I saw an amazing exhibition of the work of Julian Schnabel, who makes large-scale paintings. Mm-hmm. At the time, he was making paintings that were made out of broken plates. So he would shatter ceramic plates and glue them to the surface of the canvas and then paint on top of that rough surface. And they were very large scale, you know, 20 by 20 feet. And so when you looked at these paintings, it looked kind of like a mess until you stood back and an image came into focus. And I never knew art could be like that. And it really blew me away. And I think at that moment decided I wanted to pursue a career in the arts.
Right.
So I went to art school and ended up in Los Angeles. And
how exciting for you as a young woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Hollywood.
it was a big adventure.
Yeah. And I had a different weather too, like a different climate, different everything, different culture.
Yeah, it was a welcome change, very different experience than Ohio.
I've been to Ohio, it is different.
And LA is the kind of place that you really have to dig in and discover it yourself. You know, I remember moving first to Venice Beach, and the only reason we settled in Venice was because it had some sense of community. You know, there was a city circle where the post office was, and you could sort of identify it as a community in and of itself, and the rest of Los Angeles just kind of sprawls out around you. Mm-hmm. But there are some incredible gems and incredible experiences to have in that city, but it is a kind of place that you have to dig in and explore and find those things.
Right. So you earned your Master of Fine Arts, is that
That's right, correct? Yeah. And I started off really primarily as a painter, and then got very interested in sculpture, and, you know, I liked working with materials and figuring out how to put things together. And my work at times was rather conceptually driven, more about ideas than the object itself.
Right.
But one of the kind of recurring interests for me was thinking about myself as a subject, you know, first in terms of gender issues. And of course, gender-based art was kind of popular for someone in my era to be thinking about. And then that kind of evolved into an interest in more psychology and self-identity.
That's really fascinating. So you would draw different images that would evoke emotions, or
understanding that my master's thesis was based on a project where I tried to, you may remember, classified ads and, you know, the free throwaway publications. So I was trying to find myself in the classified ads. So I would read all the descriptions written by women who were looking for a relationship, and if I identified with the description, I would reach out to them and try to meet them. And through that outreach, I met about 12 different women who agreed to get together with me and meet for lunch so that I could interview them determine if they really were like me.
Right.
And then I made a drawing of them. And so my master's thesis was, you know, looking at these portraits that I had drawn of these women and the kind of interview results to determine, did I actually have a kind of likeness to them or not?
You know, we were talking before we started taping, and I have this mind where I can read things and remember, and it's more like organizing. And artist, it's just the total opposite. Like just mind expansion, creative, thinking things that I would never even dream of. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, often I think for artists and for myself, certainly, order or a new idea comes out of chaos, you know, comes out of really not knowing where you're going or not knowing the way, but then things kind of fall together and it reveals itself.
Yeah. So you were a young woman living in LA, got your master's in fine arts, and then is it hard to make a living? Like, what was that like, selling your work and surviving in LA?
I mean, after I graduated, I pretty immediately got a job. I had worked during graduate school. I worked as an educator at the Museum of Contemporary Art. And that was a great experience for learning how to talk to just a general audience about art and engage people and, you know, try to understand how their perception of a work of art is different from yours. So I did that for a while, but of course it didn't pay the bills. So when I graduated, I had the opportunity to go work for the Mack Center for Art and Architecture, which was a satellite of the Mack Museum in Vienna, the Museum for Angewandte Kunst. And we, at the Mack Center, we hosted a residency program for international artists and architects. So every 6 months, we would bring artists and architects from all over the world into Los Angeles to live in the Schindler Design Departments and create projects in response to this new place of Los Angeles.
Right.
And then I also curated exhibitions there. We were a small small staff. So it was everything from curating to changing the sheets at the apartment.
Right. Well, you learn every aspect of the job, exactly. Which I'm sure has come in handy here in Lafayette. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I know you were in Washington, D.C. also.
That's right, yeah. So I worked for a while in nonprofits doing both programming and fundraising, and also worked in higher education. And at some point, I had the opportunity to work on a fundraising campaign to build a new library in the city of West Hollywood in the L.A. area. And I always loved libraries. Mm-hmm. I grew up in libraries as a kid, going to Story Hour and, you know, checking out books. And so it was personally meaningful to me. And the Mac Center actually is located in the historic Schindler House, which is in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I had a good relationship with that community. And they had fantastic architects who designed a really state-of-the-art library. So we raised funds to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful project. And I worked on that with a consulting agency that had an office in D.C. So after we built the library and it opened, they offered me a job in D.C., which is closer to home. And
right.
So it was another opportunity to explore a different city and be a little closer to my family, too.
Right, right. So all these experiences really were perfect for leading you to Lafayette, because this is quite an endeavor, I'm sure, building a university art museum. I mean, it was, I want to say, first of all, I'm such a big fan of Paul Hilliard. I didn't know his, deceased, his first wife was Lulu Hilliard, but they made a fantastic gift to the university to start this museum. And I know you just had a note-burning party last week celebrating his pledge to the university to make this happen.
That's right.
But it's really been a building process. Mm-hmm. You know, building it as far as the community knowing about it, and building the number of people that attend, the types of exhibits. So it sounds like your early experiences were ideal for what you're doing today with us here in Lafayette.
I think so. I mean, this is my first museum directorship, but it's something that I wanted to do for a long time, and I always kind of had my... Mm-hmm. my mindset on that, I think. I intentionally set out to get fundraising experience and management experience, and then, you know, having occupied roles at museums as an educator, as a curator, mm-hmm. doing public programs. All of that gave me, I think, a well-rounded background for this position. Mm-hmm. And the Hilliard Museum, of course, is still a young museum.
Right.
The new building opened in 2004. And, when I came here in 2014 to interview for the job, I was just amazed at what beautiful,
it's so impressive,
state-of-the-art facility it is.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's all thanks to Paul and Lulu Hilliard. And we were thrilled this week to honor them, honor Paul, and for all of his support to make that happen. So that was a really wonderful celebration. But yeah, you know, sometimes museum directors come from a more traditional art history background. You know, maybe they worked as curators, or they are art historians, which is not the case with me. I'm more of a generalist. And I think probably the generalist type of director was the right one for this moment of growth in the museum.
I agree. I think especially knowing how to put on events, you know, that really get widespread coverage, because we are trying to grow the numbers that go in to impact and educationally, but also the fundraising. I mean, there's so much that goes into running the museum, and I think they had some very talented people in the past, but maybe they didn't have the well-rounded fundraising abilities, and just sometimes you just have to have good people skills, you know, be able to mix in any crowd.
Mm-hmm. And we've grown the team at the museum considerably. Mm-hmm. When I started, I think we were a staff of about 6, and now with full-time and part-time, we're about a staff of 20.
I didn't realize
and growing.
That. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, you need it though.
So and we've got a great team. The newest member is Ben Hickey, who's our curator. He just started a couple of weeks ago, and he comes to us from the Mazur Museum in Monroe, and brings many years of museum experience So it's wonderful for me to have, you know, somebody of Ben's reputation at my side, because mm-hmm. he brings the art history perspective
and
the expertise, you know.
Right. How do you select the exhibits? I know that they're always long-range projects mm-hmm. in the works, but do y'all sit down and brainstorm? Do you have an advisory committee? Just assume that I don't know much here, but how do you select what comes in and what will be shown? Because they're usually they're there for a few months.
That's right, yeah.
I guess you're trying to get in the different elements of our community and the region. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, we have three exhibition galleries, and we have been doing about 9 exhibitions a year, mm-hmm. which is pretty ambitious. And now we're really trying to focus the exhibition program a little more. As a university art museum, we're in a unique position to access so many intellectual mm-hmm. resources across campus, and to really produce new research through collaborations with perhaps, you know, not the usual suspects.
Right.
So we're really starting to look at that, look at ways to implement that into our exhibition program. I think we've done it quite successfully with our Creative Conversations program mm-hmm. on Wednesday nights. During the spring and fall, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., there's a program at the museum, and it's free, open to the public. And the partnerships that we form across campus that are presented that night are, for example, tonight it's an improvisational dance in the galleries that's being performed mm-hmm. by dance students. Last week we had an ekphrastic poetry workshop that was conducted by a poetry teacher. Mm-hmm. So every week, you know, somebody else is coming in as a kind of special guest from campus to offer a look at our exhibitions or look at our collection through different lens. Uh-huh. So, you know, if you're interested, maybe you think you're not so interested in visual arts, but you love music, you might come one night and hear Jeff Jertsen performing with students from the School of Music.
Right.
So we really pride ourselves on offering those kinds of opportunities, and it's wonderful for us to be able to showcase all the mm-hmm. talent across campus and to offer that up for our local community to experience as well.
Right, and it's really open to anyone, as you said. There's no charge, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I like this quote. I had read about you. Your vision for the museum is where the Hilliard is not exclusive to the fine arts community or just the university, but you want the programming to be diverse, responsive to our community, and considerate of many constituencies. And I know you also look at the museum as a bridge between the university and the community. So would you talk about that some? You know, how does that play into your average work day, work week? Bridging the communities.
Yeah, just like athletics is a bridge, mm-hmm. although perhaps a little bigger bridge.
Maybe, yeah.
The museum is also a bridge between the university and the community. And, you know, I think we have a wonderful group of alumni that are committed to the museum. Mm-hmm. But I think the museum also attracts a lot of people in the community who maybe aren't necessarily alumni of UL, but it helps to get them connected to the university. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an important role that we play for the university. I think also, I just forgot your question.
I know that you partner a lot with the schools and the community. You serve as a bridge for educational purposes, for different, the word was constituencies, but different communities. Like, you know, Lafayette has communities within our community. And I know I've learned that you'll partner with schools to help with education in the arts. And I saw that online when I looked on the website. So many resources available at no charge on the website for teaching.
Yeah, we strive to keep our programs free as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first and foremost, we want to make sure that we're serving the UL faculty, staff, and students. But, you know, our local community in Lafayette is just as important. And, in mm-hmm. fact, we find that we're serving not only broader Acadiana, but sometimes with our higher profile exhibitions, we're bringing in guests from Houston, from New mm-hmm. Orleans. So we have a pretty broad community that we serve. We really want to have the museum be a center for community engagement. And mm-hmm. museums today are no longer just, you know, storage houses for art objects. Mm-hmm. They really serve a greater role in the community. So the Hilliard Museum is a place for anybody to come to, and you might come to experience the art. You might come to just relax from your stressful mm-hmm. day. You might want to just sit down in the store and enjoy a cup of coffee and browse through books.
I love the bookstore. I'm glad you brought that up. And I know that's what Mr. Hilliard wanted. He wanted the museum to be open for education, for anybody. To come in and feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And just like libraries are centers for lifelong learning, I think museums are too, mm-hmm. you know. And when I think about my own museum experience that felt so transformative for me,
right.
I think I want that to be a possibility for other people too, mm-hmm. you know. And I think when you come into a space and you're inspired, especially as a young person, and, you know, you're coming in on your own volition, you're choosing what you look at, what you engage with, you can light a spark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that spark can be the fuel for your fire that determines your future. So I really hope that the Hilliard Museum is that kind of place for people in our community. And, you know, now that we have a full-time educator on staff and we see school groups coming in on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. it's wonderful to be able to observe these children coming in and the excitement and wonder of seeing things that they've never seen before, you know, mm-hmm. a work of art that's so unique and, you know, it's just wonderful to see them inspired by that.
And I mean, you can offer things that the schools could never offer between funding for the arts being cut and, you know, they just couldn't offer what you have there. So I've seen some of those young people at the exhibits and their faces are just priceless.
Yeah.
With wonder.
And we're looking as the next phase of growth for the museum to really enhance and enrich our education programming. I mean, there is such a need, as you say, in Lafayette among public schools and I think in Louisiana across the board, you know, that idea of giving children opportunity to express themselves, to be creative. You know, it's not a nice thing. It's a necessary mm-hmm. thing. You know, it's part of being human. And somebody needs to be nurturing individuals. And I don't know that it's always happening in the classrooms because there are so many standards that teachers have to meet. But that's one of the things that we can offer at the museum through our education programs.
Right.
And while we don't have messy space in the Hilliard Museum, we do have a wonderful additional facility in mm-hmm. the A. Hayes Town Building just across the plaza. That was the original museum, the Art Center for Southwest Louisiana. And so we've been able to kind of turn one of the rooms in that building into a classroom space where we can be messy.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did Toddler Time go this morning? I saw online that today was Toddler Time, so
yes,
it must
indeed.
Get a little messy, but not too messy.
Yeah, no, we had a very good turnout for Toddler Time. The parking lot was full.
Mm-hmm. I bet the moms and dads are so glad to have a place like that to go to.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, what happens when the kids come in?
But typically, the children will sit down with their caregivers. We put a rug out on the floor, and they'll sit down and hear a story. And then they'll go into the adjacent room to sit around tables with, you know, all kinds of crafting mm-hmm. materials, and they'll participate in some kind of activity.
Right.
And Olivia Morgan, our educator, she's so wonderful with children, you know, and she'll guide them through a hands-on art activity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to think sometimes when I observe Olivia that she must be recalling art activity with her father, Elmore Morgan Jr.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What a connection.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about an upcoming exhibit. When you mentioned A. Hayes Town, he's one of the most renowned architects.
That's right.
In the South and from South Louisiana. He started out as a commercial architect and then in his later career, you know, became very well known for his residential designs. And I know that you're working now on presenting that later this year. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. This year we're celebrating the 50-year anniversary of our original museum, which mm-hmm. was designed by A. Hayes Town in 1967. And the first exhibition in the building was in March of 1968.
Oh, okay.
So it's 50 years old this mm-hmm. year. And we decided to honor Towne's legacy, we would do an exhibition on his architecture. So we're working with a guest curator, Carol Reese, who's an architectural historian at Tulane University in New Orleans. And Carol has been working with us for about 2 years on this project now, and we'll be looking at Towne's career from his early commercial work with Overstreet in Jackson, Mississippi, through his residential work primarily in South Louisiana. Mm-hmm. The exhibition is tentatively called A. Hayes Towne and the Architectural Image of Louisiana. And, you know, when you think about Louisiana style, I think you think about A. Hayes Towne, you know, and his use of materials and his love of tradition and history and, you know, how his projects reflect that.
Right.
So Carol has chosen several architectural residences that will be featured in the exhibition. And we're partnering with LSU's School of Architecture and UL's School of Design. Mm-hmm. And so it's wonderful to have this kind of triumvirate of schools involved in the project. But the LSU students will be building the architectural models. The UL students are helping us with the exhibition design, and the Tulane students are also working on the models and research. So it's been a really wonderful collaboration. And we have one of the really engaging things about the project, too, was just the oral histories. You know, when we would visit homeowners, hearing them talk about their relationship with A. Hayes Towne and how he would come by the house early on Sunday morning with the client and let himself in and say, oh, don't mind us. We're just going to walk around and see the spaces in your house.
I think he gave people, like, design for their lives, too. Like, didn't he like German shepherds? He thought people should have German shepherds, and he had set ideas for how to live life.
Yeah, so. And he would often take his clients shopping in New Orleans for antiques and paintings and,
to make sure the home was presented properly.
That's right.
I had Philip Gould on recently as a guest, and he, of course, collaborated with Cyril Vedder on a book about A. Hayes Towne. For people that haven't seen it, I think it's a wonderful accompaniment to what you're doing at the Art Museum.
Yeah.
So this will be later this year?
Yes, it'll open in June, and it'll be on view at the Hilliard through December.
Great.
Yeah.
Anything else big coming up? Like, what's coming up this year in 2018?
Well, we've got some great exhibitions. In a couple weeks, we'll be opening up a photography exhibition by Linda Fries, who's a retired faculty from UL in the College of Arts. And then we just opened a beautiful video work by the artist Bill Viola. Bill's an internationally recognized artist who is a pioneer in video, and the piece is called The Raft, and I don't want to spoil it, but it's a very powerful piece about disaster and humanity and the humanity that brings us through disaster, really.
I saw that online. For people that are, you know, more curious about some of this, they can go to Hilliard.
Yes, HilliardMuseum.org, and our website has a calendar of events and features all of our current exhibitions. And if you're not a member, I want to encourage you to become one.
Right.
It's wonderful. If you're a member, you'll get advance notice of all the programs and exhibitions that we have going on, as well as receiving our biannual publication. So,
Right. We want to send you to the website, because when I was looking online just to remember what is it to, you know, join, $55 for a family, and, you know, hopefully people will engage at a larger level to support the museum. But I was reading about his exhibit, and what, you know, I want people to go read on the website. It's just a treasure trove of information. You can look at that exhibit, and I think it goes back to 2013. You can look at the different exhibits that you've had at the Hilliard and read about them in the background.
That's right, yeah.
For more information, so.
Yeah, and for teachers, we have lesson plans available for free download on the website, and they're wonderful tools to use in the classroom, and if you can, you know, arrange a field trip for your students, it's wonderful to use a lesson plan as a kind of guide before and after your visit.
Yeah. In PowerPoint. I mean, I was really impressed with what was available online, especially for the teachers that are strapped for funds, you know, to have a high-end material. So
yeah.
Yeah. Well, anything else big coming up? Is there anything that I should have asked that you want to plug?
Well, we also have this summer exhibition that's coming to us from the Park West Foundation, and it's two print portfolios by the artist Salvador Dali, who I think is well-known and well-loved, surrealist artist. And one of the portfolios is Dante's Inferno. And that's a story that a lot of us are acquainted with.
Yeah.
So I think people will find it quite intriguing. His, you know, surrealist imagery is so bizarre and wonderful.
That artist's mind, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you, Luann, from my service on the board, I didn't want to let the show go by without putting this in. You go way beyond what people would expect. I've been so impressed with not just the work ethic, but the actual love. It's obvious in what you do. I mean, you're 100%, 150% into what you're doing for our community. You've brought a real passion. And I think just the excitement that you bring to seeing the museum grow and seeing our community grow along with it, culturally. It's just been I've been honored to work beside you, and I do want to thank you for what you've brought to our community. It's been a real pleasure to watch you in action.
I appreciate it, Jan, and thanks for being a part of it for a while on our advisory board.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not just in it to run the museum, I guess is what I want to say. And we needed that. We needed someone with fire, in your gut to make things the best it can be for our community. And, we're a medium-sized community, and it can be difficult, I think, sometimes to support the arts. And you're doing it, and you're raising awareness, which was so needed.
Yeah, well, I love it. I love my job, and I love Lafayette. Mm-hmm. It's been a really wonderful experience to be here, and I'm looking forward to the next 5 years of future growth for the museum and in our community.
Yeah.
And it's such a culturally rich and creative and warm community. It's easy to be a part of it, and it's really nice to be a part of it. And so I'm just thrilled to be at the Hilliard Museum, where we can celebrate that and support that, and a part of a wonderful university too. I mean, has been I've had an amazing experience there, and certainly they've been so influential in Lafayette. And the alumni that have come out of UL and gone on to serve the community it's quite amazing, to see that level of support and that kind of continued legacy. Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that our culture must have been, not shocking, but coming from Ohio and then large towns like LA and Washington, D.C., this is such a different community, but you've assimilated yourself right in there. And
it's sort of the fourth quadrant for me, I guess. I went from north to west to east and now to south. Mm-hmm. And in some ways maybe connects more strongly with Ohio than the other places that I've been, in that I'm back in a small town again and in a Catholic community.
Right.
And, living in Los Angeles or in D.C., I think they're exciting places to be, and it's a great experience. But I think you do lose kind of a connection to community.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
important
it's nice,
here.
Yeah, it's nice to reconnect with that and just to feel supported by the network around you.
Right. Well, thank you for all you've done. And
thank you.
I want to thank you again, Luann Greenwald, director of the Hilliard University Art Museum, for taking time today to be with us. And let's tell people one more time about the website that they can go to as they join.
Sure. HilliardMuseum.org. And we'd love to have you as a member.
Great. And check it out on Wednesday nights also if you want to learn more about it. And I'd like to thank Jason Sikora, our sound engineer. I don't know if I'm giving the right thing. I'm outnumbered here to LA, former residents, and I've always been South Louisiana girl. And I'd like to thank you also for listening to Discover Lafayette. This podcast is broadcast through Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you receive your podcast. I ask that you please subscribe and then rate and review our podcast. And also please visit the website, discoverlafayette.net, where you can check out all of our podcasts and videos. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift. Thank you.